državni izpitni center.
Matura 2005.
Preverjanje slušnega razumevanja.
Lepo pozdravljeni. Pričenja se reševanje maturitetne izpitne pole slušnega razumevanja angleščine.
Izpitna pola je sestavljena iz dveh delov, dela A in dela B. Vsak del vsebuje govorjeno izhodiščno besedilo in nalogo, ki se nanj nanaša.
Najprej boste nalogo prebrali, nato boste poslušali govorjeno izhodiščno besedilo in lahko že med poslušanjem nalogo sproti reševali. Vsako govorjeno izhodiščno besedilo boste poslušali po dvakrat, vmes pa bo premor za reševanje. Začetek in konec govorjenega besedila bo označeval takle zvočni znak.
Odgovore z nalivnim peresom ali s kemičnim svinčnikom vpisujte v izpitno polo v zato predvideni prostor. Če se zmotite, odgovor prečrtajte in napišite na novo. Nečitljive rešitve in nejasni popravki se točkujejo z nič točkami.
Po reševanju obeh delov, dela A in dela B, boste imeli minuto časa, da na listu za odgovore s svinčnikom počrnite ustrezne krogce pri nalogi A.
Zaupajte vase in v svoje sposobnosti. Želimo vam veliko uspeha.
To so bila splošna navodila. Zdaj boste začeli reševati izpitne naloge.
Poslušajte pozorno. Odprite izpitno polo.
Section A. You're going to hear an interview with an animal behaviorist about animal self-medication. As you listen to the recording, tick the appropriate column below and shade in the appropriate circles on your answer sheet. You will hear the recording twice. Now read through the statements.
We're all aware of the dog or cat that goes out and eats up part of the lawn to make itself sick, and Dr. Cindy Engel, who's an animal behaviourist, has found a whole range of ways in which animals seek out substances to keep themselves well. Her book is called Wild Health. Cindy, what are the most obvious examples of self-medication that you've come across?
Well, the first time that animal self-medication came to the attention of scientists was probably back in 1972 when primatologist Richard Wrangham noticed that chimpanzees were doing some very strange things with leaves. He noticed that early in the morning, on an empty stomach, a chimpanzee would take great care to select a particular type of leaf. And this was odd in that they would feel the leaf with their mouth without picking it off the bush or the tree, and then they'd kind of decide yes or no and move on until they found the leaf that they wanted, and then they would fold it in a very strange manner, in a concertina fashion, like a fan, put it in the mouth and swallow it without chewing it. He thought this was very odd, and round about the same time he found these folded up leaves on the forest floor that had obviously been excreted undigested, and what followed was 2 decades of research to find out what the chimpanzees were doing, because obviously they're not getting any nutritional benefit from this. Anyway, it transpires that they only ever use very hairy leaves, and that the rough hairiness and the folds of the leaves are scraping worms, intestinal parasites, through the gut. And so that's a really obvious form that we can look at.
There are some animals that eat dung as well, their own dung. Why would they do that?
Well, that's pretty common in young animals. One of the most common reasons for that is the young animal has to establish the what's called the gut microflora. It has to establish the good bacteria in the intestine for health. And one of the best ways to do that is to consume the mother's dung. It's quite often the mother's dung. I mean, foals will consume their mother's dung. And that kind of behaviour can become distorted in animals that are taken away from their mothers too young.
And I think that I read about some sheep that eat dried bones, even though they're natural vegetarians. Why would they do that?
Yes, I think the example you're thinking of is the horror story from Scotland where sheep on the Isle of Fula. I mean, we all know that sheep are supposed to be vegetarian. And what they're doing there is that these sheep are biting the legs off of ground nesting chicks of Arctic terns and leaving, you know, while the birds are still alive, poor things. And what they're after is thought to be the phosphorus or the calcium minerals that they're not getting from the grass on this particular island.
Now you will hear the recording again.
We're all aware of the dog or cat that goes out and eats up part of the lawn to make itself sick. And Dr. Cindy Engel, who's an animal behaviourist, has found a whole range of ways in which animals seek out substances to keep themselves well. Her book is called Wild Health. Cindy, what are the most obvious examples of self-medication that you've come across?
Well, the first time that animal self-medication came to the attention of scientists was probably back in 1972 when primatologist Richard Wrangham noticed that chimpanzees were doing some very strange things with leaves. He noticed that early in the morning, on an empty stomach, a chimpanzee would take great care to select a particular type of leaf. And this was odd in that they would feel the leaf with their mouth without picking it off the bush or the tree. And then they'd kind of decide yes or no and move on until they found the leaf that they wanted. And then they would fold it in a very strange manner, in a concertina fashion, like a fan, put it in the mouth and swallow it without chewing it. He thought this was very odd, and around about the same time he found these folded up leaves on the forest floor that had obviously been excreted undigested. And what followed was 2 decades of research to find out what the chimpanzees were doing, because obviously they're not getting any nutritional benefit from this. Anyway, it transpires that they only ever use very hairy leaves, and that the rough hairiness and the folds of the leaves are scraping worms, intestinal parasites, through the gut. And so that's a really obvious form that we can look at.
There are some animals that eat dung as well, their own dung. Why would they do that?
Well, that's pretty common in young animals. One of the most common reasons for that is the young animal has to establish the what's called the gut microflora. It has to establish the good bacteria in the intestine for health. And one of the best ways to do that is to consume the mother's dung. It's quite often the mother's dung. I mean, foals will consume their mother's dung. And that kind of behaviour can become distorted in animals that are taken away from their mothers too young.
And I think that I read about some sheep that eat dried bones, even though they're natural vegetarians. Why would they do that?
Yes, I think the example you're thinking of is the horror story from Scotland where sheep on the Isle of Fula. I mean, we all know that sheep are supposed to be vegetarian. And what they're doing there is that these sheep are biting the legs off of ground nesting chicks of Arctic terns and leaving, you know, while the birds are still alive, poor things. And what they're after is thought to be the phosphorus or the calcium minerals that they're not getting from the grass on this particular island.
This is the end of Section A. Section B. You're about to hear an interview with Penelope Dent,
Pauline Gow's biographer. As you listen to the recording, write your answers in note form in the spaces below. You will hear the recording twice. Now read through the questions.
Now, Pauline Gower is best known for the work she did in the Second World War. She was the founder of the Women's Division of the ATA, the Air Transport Auxiliary. Well, it was 70 years ago this month that Pauline Gower began her flying career. She set up an all-female air taxi service on a small airfield in Kent. Penelope Dent is an aviation historian and Gower's biographer. Penelope, how did she fall in love with flying?
She had a joyride. She was in Gillingham and Alan Cobham was giving them, and immediately she came down, she was determined she was going to learn to fly.
What was her parents' reaction? Because she did come from quite an eminent and certainly affluent family.
Yes, her mother's reaction, this was a little idea put forward at the breakfast table, was, "I sincerely hope you are not going to learn to fly." And her father looked at her and he said, "If you think I'm going to pay for you to break your neck, you are mistaken."
Because he was an MP and the local mayor,
I think? He had been the mayor and he was currently an MP. And I think that it was whilst he was up in London in the House of Commons that Pauline sneaked off and had secret lessons, which she financed by not buying any dresses and spending her dress allowance on flying lessons. And when the money ran out and she thought she could mention it to her father, he still refused to pay. And so she gave violin recitals and lectures in politics.
They did, though, give her a plane for her 21st birthday. How do you think she managed to persuade them?
Well, Pauline was a great one at persuading, and she was often late for meals. And this was simply because she'd been flying, had lost her way, and had to land to ask someone where she was. But she couldn't tell her father that, and she said, "The aeroplane I hired was in such poor condition, I could have had an accident. These aeroplanes are very badly maintained. If I had my own, and if Dorothy, who was an engineer, looked after my aeroplane, then I would be quite safe. And when I'm 21, you can't stop me flying, so I need a safe aeroplane."
So she persuaded him. How did the taxi service begin?
Well, she had already had a hired aeroplane, and she'd had it for one afternoon in a field, and she knew that she could attract enough joyriders. So she found a field and she put up a windsock, and there was a shed for the aeroplane. She had an engineer, and she just published it in local newspapers and hoped to be an air taxi for businessmen. One businessman missed his train, and so she flew him to Cardiff, and that got lots of publicity, which her father liked. But this particular businessman was a sanitary engineer, and so the MP got rather teased in the House of Commons about that.
Now you will hear the recording again.
Now, Pauline Gower is best known for the work she did in the Second World War. She was the founder of the Women's Division of the ATA, the Air Transport Auxiliary. Well, it was 70 years ago this month that Pauline Gower began her flying career. She set up an all-female air taxi service on a small airfield in Kent. Penelope Dent is an aviation historian and Gower's biographer. Penelope, how did she fall in love with flying?
She had a joyride. She was in Gillingham and Alan Cobham was giving them, and immediately she came down, she was determined she was going to learn to fly.
What was her parents' reaction? Because she did come from quite an eminent and certainly affluent family.
Yes, her mother's reaction, this was a little idea put forward at the breakfast table, was, "I sincerely hope you are not going to learn to fly." And her father looked at her and he said, "If you think I'm going to pay for you to break your neck, you are mistaken."
Because he was an MP and the local mayor,
I think? He had been the mayor and he was currently an MP. And I think that it was whilst he was up in London in the House of Commons that Pauline sneaked off and had secret lessons, which she financed by not buying any dresses and spending her dress allowance on flying lessons. And when the money ran out and she thought she could mention it to her father, he still refused to pay. And so she gave violin recitals and lectures in politics.
They did, though, give her a plane for her 21st birthday. How do you think she managed to persuade them?
Well, Pauline was a great one at persuading, and she was often late for meals. And this was simply because she'd been flying, had lost her way, and had to land to ask someone where she was. But she couldn't tell her father that, and she said, "The aeroplane I hired was in such poor condition, I could have had an accident. These aeroplanes are very badly maintained. If I had my own, and if Dorothy, who was an engineer, looked after my aeroplane, then I would be quite safe. And when I'm 21, you can't stop me flying, so I need a safe aeroplane."
So she persuaded him. How did the taxi service begin?
Well, she had already had a hired aeroplane, and she'd had it for one afternoon in a field, and she knew that she could attract enough joyriders. So she found a field and she put up a windsock, and there was a shed for the aeroplane. She had an engineer, and she just published it in local newspapers and hoped to be an air taxi for businessmen. One businessman missed his train, and so she flew him to Cardiff, and that got lots of publicity, which her father liked. But this particular businessman was a sanitary engineer, and so the MP got rather teased in the House of Commons about that.
This is the end of Section B.
Zdaj imate še minuto časa, da na listu za odgovore s svinčnikom počrnite ustrezne krogce pri nalogi A.
Končuje se slušno preverjanje angleščine. Nehajte pisati, zaprite izpitno polo in jo skupaj z listom za odgovore položite na rob mize.
Nasvidenje in srečno!